Well, this was our back-to-school fellowship and dish to pass today. And it's this time of year that we're in for a lot of change. And I haven't preached on the topic of change in a while. And it's time to do that again because we're facing a lot of change in our church. Again, not the ministry of the church so much, the lives of all of the people in our church. There's a lot of change going on, isn't there? Now, first of all, you got, those who went away to school. Well, I miss them. I can't talk to them right now, but they're in for a change. But what about the parents who are left behind? We're in for a lot of change too, aren't we? And they didn't all go to school. You know, they didn't all go away to school. We got Brennan and Corbin. They're going to college here, but they're still in for some big changes, aren't they? And then there's those who are just starting fresh, either with homeschooling or with public schooling or Christian schooling, and yet, fresh start back, it's not quite the same as where you left off last year, is it? Change. And this has been a big change for a whole lot of our couples this year. You know, more babies. And then you find out you have one baby, so the second time, this is, okay, you're an old hack at this. But you know, this kid isn't anything like that other kid I had. Change! And, you know, we have our foster parents who just, Doug and Becca have this little baby for a little while. And now they need to give that little foster baby up. Change. And I mean, it goes on and on, doesn't it? Most of you are going through something that is just different. And, you know, these changes can be really tough for some of you, more so than others, if you are the type that really doesn't like change. That's me. That's me. I was so sure I would have a job in a factory, and that would have been fine with me. Put me on an assembly line and let me do the same thing with my routine all day long. I have never liked change. I've always liked routine, and God said, "You're going in the ministry." And I have to deal with change all the time. Are you like that? Do you find yourself the type that you just don't do well with change? Now, some of you are not like that. And I find myself envious of you type because the way you roll with it. My oldest son, he's just like me. First week at college was tough. Not because he was homesick. He didn't miss us, did he? Yeah, no, it's not his his world got upset. And now that he's getting his new routine, okay, things are getting better. But, you know, I'm talking about changes that happen to you, okay, that are in and of themselves even good. We got a wedding coming up, okay? Finally, seems like forever, but, you know, Dylan and Karina are getting married, right? They've been engaged, and now they're going to get married, and they're in for a change, right? You get these young couples, they've been engaged for a while, and they think, well, how different can it be? I mean, we know each other, that's why we're getting married. Ha! Yeah. And when you say I do, it's going to be different, right? And that's a good thing. It doesn't mean it's easy to deal with, though. And some of these changes that happen to you, you definitely don't want. You think Joan wants this change in her body? It's definitely a change for the worse with all the pain she's going through. And sometimes you're going to find that happens. Changes you do not want. You didn't ask for it. You didn't invite them. And here they are. And as Christians, these changes that are of the Lord, that he brings, these changes have real benefits if we make the most of them. And my favorite and most helpful individual recorded in the Bible who just rolled with change and let it do for him what it's supposed to do is Joseph. You read about him in Genesis. We'll spend most of our time in Genesis 37, if you want to just flip there, 37, 39, that part of his life is where Joseph went through changes. And again, they were changes he didn't ask for. He sure didn't want. Boy, God used those changes in his life. And he got some benefit out of that. Three to be exact. And you know, these are the same benefits that we can rein in when God brings change to us. You got to remember, Joseph was the youngest of 11 brothers. And being the baby, he was spoiled rotten. And often we do that to the baby. And I don't think parents mean to. I think we're just uptight as parents with the firstborn. You know, this is all new. This thing's going to break. You know, I got to do everything right. And, you know, we bring up this kid with, you know, you be responsible, and we hover, and we... And so the firstborn grows up, Mr. Responsibility, but boy, he sure is uptight about everything. By the time we get to the second, third, or fourth kid, we stopped hovering. In fact, we've maybe let go too much. And unless it's bleeding or about to fall off, don't bother me. I'm in the middle of something. Okay, and we really back off. And so the little kid gets a lot of independence, that baby. And wow, for him, growing up, life's a beach where I just party. Because my parents just let me. They never bothered me. And this was Joseph. His brothers, they went to work. And he was home where his dad gave him stuff, gave him a nice coat, and kind of spoiled him, didn't he? And that was kind of a problem in some of the people in that Israelite culture. They tended to spoil their kids and take favorites. They tended to show favoritism, and that's exactly what Joseph's dad did. And he spoiled them. And being spoiled, Joseph had no problem going to his other brothers and showing off, wearing his coat, dad made. He was gifted with dreams, prophetic dreams. God had plans for Joseph, and he was giving him these dreams of the future, and it was obvious that to Joseph anyway, that these dreams were pictures of where he stood in the future. And these dreams pointed out that he had a special place in God's plan where his brothers did not. But in his immaturity, what did he do with that knowledge? He went and showed it off to his brothers. Kind of like going, look what I got. That's what he was doing. Instead of just taking the knowledge and growing with it, he was too immature for that. He needed to grow. Something needed to happen in this boy's life. And boy, something surely did. His brothers, who were hardly godly young men, let jealousy take that root in their hearts. And they sold him into slavery behind their dad's back. And then tricked their dad and lied to him. And said he was killed by a wild animal. And Joseph went from being the favored spoiled child in a cushy lifestyle to being a slave. And his world changed. And it changed fast. And he was put to work as a hardworking slave. He was such a hard worker, even though he'd been spoiled as a kid. Boy, he sure went to work once he had to, and he did. And, you know, in Potiphar's house, that was the Egyptian who owned him, in Potiphar's house, he worked so hard, it says in Genesis 39:4, Joseph found favor in his sight, that is in Potiphar's sight, and he served him, and then he made him overseer of his house, and all he had, he put under his authority. So Potiphar said, this slave is worth his weight in gold, and Joseph started to grow. His work ethic shined. Potiphar had a miserable wife who tried to seduce Joseph, and he resisted. So quickly did he resist her, he ran out of the house and left his coat in her hands. That's interesting, you know. When he was a young kid, his dad made him a shiny coat to show off in, and now he's ditching his coat for fear of temptation because he wants to honor his God. Change is affecting this man. But Potiphar, whether he believed his wife or not is debatable, but the truth is, his wife accused Joseph of doing wrong when it was she who was guilty, and Potiphar did go with her words against Joseph's and put him in jail. And now Joseph was in prison, from being in charge of a high-ranking official's home to being in prison. And he was there a while, where he continued to have dreams and use those dreams to God's glory and was forgotten about. He just left there to rot. But eventually that came out for him. He was freed. God gave him another dream regarding the Pharaoh of Egypt. He shared that dream with the Pharaoh. It was a dream accompanied with a lot of wisdom. Pharaoh was so impressed with Joseph. He not only pulled him out of prison, he made him second in command. Now, as second in command, as you know, he was able to enact a real plan to save Israel from a famine that was coming. Wouldn't you like to know that in 7 years, things are going to get really ugly? Wouldn't you like to know that in advance? Wouldn't you like to have known what was going to happen in 2008, back in 2001? Wouldn't you like to have known that? Especially if you were at all in the market, you'd have prepared for it. Well, he knew that. He told the Pharaoh, here's what you do to get ready for that. Pharaoh said, that is a great idea. You're in charge. Make it happen. He did. And not only did he was he used of God to save Egypt from famine, but he also got to see his brothers again and his dad again. You know, he never did see his mom again. That's sad. But he saw his dad. And a lot came back for him. And he had his own children by the time he saw his dad. And he got to see his dad bless his children. What a family reunion that must have been. But all of this to say, Joseph went through a lot of change he never asked for or wanted. And look what it did. Well, there were three benefits that came from that. In Genesis 37, verse 3, you see the favoritism. Now, Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic or a cloak of many colors. You see it in verse 12. Then his brothers went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flock in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. And he wasn't out working with his brothers, okay, like he should have been, because his dad favored him. Now, it wasn't his fault that his dad showed favoritism, but he was definitely spoiled. Just being young, he was probably not as capable or as experienced as his brothers were. He still wet behind the ears. That's what he was before. But now you go to chapter 39, and you look at verse 3, and it says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. This is the same Joseph who had been a spoiled brat, flaunting his coat in front of his brothers, and now he's being put in charge and in a position of authority because he was such a hard worker, and God was evident in his life. He didn't suppress the work of the Lord in his heart. What's the benefit of the change that he went through? Simply this: God uses change to provide ability. You ever see people that have abilities you wish you had? Well, you could if you allowed the hard changes to take root in your life. Listen, young people, we got a lot of them here. You young people, keep this in mind. You don't start giving wise counsel until you have first received a whole lot of it yourself. You're still wet behind the ears. You don't have all the answers. You only think you do. Okay? You know how I know that? Because I was a young people myself once. That's how. And I knew all the answers. And it was only later that I realized I didn't. If you can learn that now, you're gonna prime yourself to receive good counsel, and these changes you go through in your life are gonna provide ability that much faster. They really will. But you know, those of us who are not so young anymore, we still need abilities, right? You are never too old to learn from the Lord. You'll never reach a point where you can say, I've learned all God's gonna teach me, I have nothing else to learn. You'll never reach that point. So as long as God's teaching you, there's more abilities for you to have, right? More abilities for you to learn, more to grow. But it's not through the easy stuff that growth takes place. It's through the hard change. It always is. Benefit two. You know, again, back in chapter 37, you see Joseph just kind of showing off. You know, in chapter 37, let's see, verse 5. It says, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. Right? Now, why did they hate him? Because the dream made him look good and them look bad. It says in verse 9, then he dreamed still another dream, told it to his brothers, and said, look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me. That's just the 11 stars, which represent his brother, but the sun and the moon, which is who? Probably his mom and his dad. You know, and even his dad didn't like this at this point. Even his, you know, and his dad favored him. And even he got upset. Well, it wasn't his to go show off. The dreams were his to hold and wait for God to work. He didn't do that. Okay? He was so quick to tell them what he knew. Folks, God's gifts were never given to be flaunted. They're given to be used for God. Joseph needed to make some adjustments. But afterwards, after he went through all that hard change in his life, in 20 years, by the way, 20 years of hard change, his brothers came to Egypt to buy food because there was famine in the land. And they didn't recognize him, but he recognized them, so he tested them. Turns out, he finds out he had a little brother, one he didn't know about, Benjamin, and he wanted so badly to meet his little brother. And eventually he did, and he held his one of his older brothers, Simeon, as a prisoner. Told the rest, "You need to go get your little brother and bring him to this land. I'm going to hold your brother Simeon here." And they still didn't know that who Joseph was, and so they did. And he said, "I want to see your father too." You know, Joseph wanted to see his family, and they did. They went and they got their little brother and they got their dad. And when they brought him, it was at that point it became too much for Joseph. And he revealed who he was. He broke down and cried. He was so happy to see his family. So broken up about it, too, that you see chapter 44. Genesis 44, it says in verse 33. It says, "Now therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the lad as a slave to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brothers. For how long shall I go up to my father if the lad is not with me, lest perhaps I see the evil that would come upon my father?" That's what was said to Joseph. And this was heartbreaking to Joseph to hear his brother say that. And it broke him down. And remember, Joseph was not testing them to be mean. He just wanted to know their hearts. He wanted to know he changed. Had his brothers changed? Years earlier, they sold him into slavery. Now, he just finds out they're willing to sacrifice themselves to gain their little brother Benjamin's freedom. Whoa. You see, Joseph came to find out that they had changed too. That's what was so overwhelming to him, so moving to him. Joseph, who once lorded over his brothers because of his gift, he now lifts up his brothers. What's the benefit here? Benefit two, God uses change to provide selflessness. If you ask me, we are way short on selflessness in the human race. Way short. Let's not be short of it in God's church. Let those changes do for you what they did for Joseph and for his brothers, and make you start thinking of others above yourself. That's what it does. These hard changes do that. They really do. And then, benefit three. The youngest brother with the least experience, now the leader of a nation and second in command under Pharaoh and doing great. And not just a leader, but a godly leader. He had godly wisdom. Not worldly wisdom, godly wisdom. Benefit three, God uses change to provide maturity. He was so wet behind the ears and immature, and through all of that hard change, wow, he's a different man. He's a mature man. He's somebody who's selfless. He's somebody who has capability, and he uses it to God's glory. Folks, it takes maturity to do that. You can have a gift and misuse it, because that's what immaturity does. But God had to mold him and shape him and change him, and look what it did. It brought all of these benefits. You're going through changes, so many of you. And that's never going to stop as long as you're in these bodies, as long as you're on this earth. Oh, I don't know. I suppose for eternity. As long as we're watching God work, man, we're going to be exposed to change, right? But in this life, that can be hard. But it's not going to end. There's always a change. Ask anybody. Ask anybody who's older than you. When does this stop? When does this quit? When do things just finally settle down? I get in a groove and I live that way for the rest of my life. Ask anybody older than you when that happens. It never happens. I remember Doc Walton. He was my Greek teacher in Bible college. His kids were grown, and his boy, who was an adult, was getting into trouble. And he just stopped talking Greek one day in class. And he said, "Man, when you have little kids, you worry about them, and you just can't wait till they grow up so you don't have to worry about them anymore. And then they grow up, and you worry about them more than you ever did." It just doesn't stop. God just allows change into your life for as long as you have life in you. But he does that for your benefit. He does that so you'll grow, so that you'll continue to increase in your ability, that you'll increase in your selflessness, that you'll continue to mature. There's always room to mature. When I was a teenager, got saved when I was 15, and man, my world was different. That first year of spiritual growth in my church was just filled with so much wonder and new experiences. It was such a blessing. And you know, even after a year, things at church changed a little bit. So-and-so moved away. These new people came in. Pastor Wise was doing different things with their youth group. And I remember the second year after I got saved, looking back to the first year, thinking, well, I sure missed the way we used to do things last year. I missed the good old days. That's how I was thinking. And hey, you know what happened the third year? Some more people moved in, and the church grew a little bit, and so-and-so died, and so-and-so moved away, and Pastor Wise is still doing different things with the youth group that he'd never done before. And I started saying, well, I sure wish we were doing things the way we did last year. I sure wish things were like they were last year. You know? I missed the way it was. You know, I started doing that year after year. And it wasn't until I was well into my 20s that it dawned on me. I better stop saying how much I miss the good old days, because right now this is the good old days and I'm going to miss this tomorrow. And that's when I finally started living with the changes instead of just reminiscing about the way things used to be. And I fight that today. I fight it today. And I get it now when I hear the older generation say, boy, I really do miss the good old days. It really was golden, young man, back in the day. Churches were different back then. I get it. But folks, the God's allowing the changes then is the same God who's allowing the changes now. Let's stop living in the past and put our hand to the plow and look to the future and let changes affect us. Let's grow in the benefit of the changes that are happening now. Good changes, even though they're not always fun to go through and they don't always feel good, they are good when God's behind that. He's behind it here, behind it at Open Door. He's behind it in your life. I'm seeing changes in people's life left and right, and there are changes in our church. Did you ever think Pastor Dave and Kathy Little would move back and rejoin this church after having pastored it about 300 years ago? Did you ever think that would happen? I mean, I never thought that would happen. It's such a blessing to me to be a member of the same church as Dave and Kathy Little. I find that to be a blessing. What a change, huh? It's a change for them, too. So many things I never thought I'd see. Well, praise God. Some of them are hard. The change that the benefit these changes bring are a blessing. So, those of you who are back at school or back at your studies and you're going, I want to do this. Listen, these are hard changes. They're good for you. We parents who have said goodbye as we send them away to school, and as heartbreaking as that is, that's tough. Man, these are good changes that bring benefits from the Lord. Don't forfeit those benefits. Those of you who are getting older and your body's changing in ways you wish it didn't, you can benefit from that too. And the way you handle it will benefit those who are coming up behind you. I guarantee it. If you let those hard changes affect you for the better, you are going to affect those behind you for the better as well. So that's change, and that's the way it is. God's not done changing things. In fact, I don't think he ever will be. Question is, are we done changing? Because if we are, it's going to get real hard in this life. But if you're not, hey, you got a lot of benefit waiting for you. Father, we just thank you again for our time together. May we just enjoy the rest of the day. Speaking of change, just a change from our routine today to finish our services a little early and enjoy one another and fellowship afterwards. I just pray, Lord, that you'll use today and any changes that took place to affect the way we live for you, our Savior, tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.